You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz. Wayne.
Howdy. Hi, Bruce. Hey, everybody.
Good to be back.
Hope you all had a good, fantastic weekend.
Absolutely. Nice weather and spring, finishing up all the spring breaks and all that good stuff. Been some busy times over here, but before we get into all that, how's everything going with your brick and mortar situation? Is that still?
It's been a long run, but I'll tell you what, we have a time set tomorrow at noon for the real signing.
Okay.
Then my contractor's meeting me and getting started, so okay. It's all looking good. I went to dinner with Andrew last Thursday at Ruth's Chris, and just the two of us, we had a really good time. And believe it or not, I had an interview today at noon with a girl that came around pouring water. She's about 40, husband deceased, looking for part-time sales work. I was like, that's why you always talk to people. You don't just sit there and order from the menu and eat your food and leave. Life's all about relationships.
Absolutely.
Walking up to people and meeting them.
I sat next to the guy at the fight, and he said he had seen me at the Austin fight. We started talking. He's he works for Apple. And so he's going to give me his employee discount code. Give me some bus. Man, all right, I won't need Wayne anymore on these hand-me-downs if I get this guy.
Yeah, no kidding.
But he also a good graphic artist. And he made a meme right there. He had all this fancy software.
That's awesome.
Incredible, these young guys, man. They're just so tech savvy and smart like that. So.
Before you get started today also, when we get offline sometime we have time, I want to bring up today to my friend that stood up. Yeah, there's a lot of information there.
Oh, okay. Hey,
I'll bring you up today.
And I know that was a rough text. It's just that that's what happened. So No big deal there. No harm, no foul, man. People.
Yeah, but I'll bring you up today.
But we'll make this into a coaching moment. Folks, sometimes, people will want to enlist in some coaching services, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And or they tell other people they're going to do it. And right before their first session, I'm sure some of you coaches have gone through this. You'll get that cryptic, that's kind of like, yeah, I'm going through a lot of my life right now, so I'm not going to come in, and that's okay. You know what I mean? I mean, that's okay. It's part of our business is to have to deal with those situations where you got to be nimble and flexible and kind of go on to the next hour, right? So no harm, no foul there, brother. I appreciate that, but. It's kind of part of the business, but I want to give you that feedback though on it. Yeah.
Well, there's you're right. I mean, it's even in direct sales or anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes you swings and you misses.
Right. Right.
But you keep swinging.
Keep swinging.
But that boy's in a lot of trouble. I mean, he's got a lot of challenges.
And
he'll find it somewhere.
We'll talk after the show. And and folks, I'll say this. Sometimes if somebody is less than reliable, then you can ask for prepayment on Venmo or Cash App or Zelle, and you can ask for prepayment. That way, if they make their appointment, great, it's paid for. And if they don't make their appointment, your time is paid for, okay? Yeah. So don't feel bad about asking for prepayment, particularly if there's been a miss or two. Because your time is valuable, right?
Exactly.
Time is valuable. And I know our listeners' times are valuable because I know you're spending valuable time looking at and listening to this show. So we appreciate that.
And Bruce, there's one thing. This was a case that he listened to me for a while. Or we visited because coaching. But when it came a little bit more serious than just coaching, I needed to turn him over to you.
Yeah, right.
And that's what a coach does. We're not the professional.
Wow. Okay. So,
and he went beyond coaching.
Oh,
and,
there.
Yes.
So now look, fantastic.
I wonder if I know that.
Well, that's good that you knew where that line was, that Wayne ends and the next person begins, right?
Yes.
So Wayne only has so much coaching bandwidth. But if you go outside one way or another, right? And it's, and you got to be honest.
Yes.
Right?
Number one with yourself.
Right.
You got to be honest with yourself, and you don't over. It's very important you don't overstep your bounds, because you could ruin everything for yourself, your business, your credibility.
Right. And I have passed on many, many clients and consulting opportunities because I knew I wasn't quite the right fit for whatever reason. Right. And you always want to have a happy customer. Second of all, you want to take on somebody that you know that you feel comfortable with that's right there in your wheelhouse, you know what I mean? And you're not, you know, stressed about other factors like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and take this case when I really shouldn't, because I need to pay the light bill or rent. Yeah. And then it can come back to bite you. So that's good that you did that. And hey, we'll see where things end up with the person. And we of course wish everybody well and all that other stuff. So you never know. Sometimes, hey, this is kind of funny, right? Sometimes people will personal message me on Facebook and inquire about services, right? And I'll answer the question directly. It's a personal message, just like a text. And I'll say, well, da 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 da, and I'll have my response, and then crickets, you know, crickets. And then sure enough, a year, sometimes 2 years later, I'll get this personal message again, and they'll pretend like they think that I deleted the past ones. Like, no, and then I can scroll back and then, you know, say, hey, I try to say this as nicely as I can. Didn't we have this conversation in 2020? You know, I'm just kind of wondering what's happened. What's different now, right, in 2023 that you know, 2020? Well, you know, I wasn't ready, or I didn't have the, well, you know what I mean? So it's real fun to see what people say, but that's why it's some of these social media platforms are good to go ahead and operate off of direct message or PMs, because then you can kind of see a history there. But again, that's part of the business, and we have to be mindful and patient for that. So yeah. Anything more on that there, Mr. Wayne?
No, that's good. I wanted to just bring that up, and that's important. And
no, I think that's a great talking point. I think that's real time issue.
Well, you know, this person I know personally.
Right.
From
right.
And so that makes it even more important. You have to, it's wise. I don't know. You don't have to do anything, but I think it's wise as a coach that you at a coaching level, you've got to have empathy.
Oh yeah.
Empathy, not sympathy.
Right.
Big difference. Look them up in the dictionary.
Oh yeah.
There's a huge difference, because when you know that person on a level of personal, you watch them grow up, it's easy to be sympathetic, and you have to keep it empathetic as a coach. I mean, you get sympathy if you go in the bar at the Legion and drink beer and they listen to all your sorrows.
Right.
You get sympathy.
And that's why it's good that, from my end of this, I don't know this person. I know that he was referred by you. I don't know this person. So you know what that does? I'm objective. Yeah, I'm going to be empathetic to whatever anybody says, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm still going to treat this person as I would treat anybody else on my professional caseload, particularly in the beginning of that relationship, you know? So, and then when you have money that's exchanged for the time, that makes it a professional service. And once it's now a professional service, we need to act as professionals, right? And so, and again, there's people that I've known that I could have worked with, but because I knew them, right? I knew I had to send them down the road. You know what I mean? I can be there. I can be your friend or acquaintance or whatever. Anyway, so sometimes we got to draw those boundaries and distinctions. And so it's all good, man. It's all good. Yep. All right.
So tell me about your,
well, this week, I've spent some time, consulting on a criminal trial, consulting a family. And it's coaching and consulting. It's a little bit of both, but I think, this proceeding was a very close and problematic case. It was a sex offense type of case trial, and I happened to be consulting the victim. So let's be clear, not the perpetrator. I was consulting and coaching the victim and we'll say their side of things, okay, and their side, and it was more or less two of the witnesses on the victim camp. So with this type of thing, when it's an egregious crime or whatever, people are focused on the outcome of the jury. This was a jury trial. People are can like, well, I want this guy to burn in hell or whatever. You know, I want this, you know, certainly to be found guilty and certainly to get XYZ penalty. And from the get-go, I said, we don't need to focus on that right now. We need to focus on these questions that you're going to be asked by the prosecutor. We need to function on possibly prepare for questions that are going to be asked on cross-examination. Okay. And then that's all we need to focus on right now. Okay. Once you're done, right, you're done testifying, and you're not going to have to come back for testifying, then let's worry about the next thing. Okay. So these people are thinking about the outcome and the jury and guilty and what the penalty should be. And then before, you know, they even do the testifying prep, well, you know what, here's what I'm going to say when we do the, after the verdict is handed down, I'm going to say this and this and this as part of the punishment phase, you know. I don't know if you've seen that on TV where, let's say they find defendant John Doe. This is just like on any Dateline, y'all. Okay. So defendant John Doe is found guilty of murder. Okay. And so John Doe is found guilty. And then at a later date, right, the family members, the victims, right, everybody kind of comes in there with their prepared statement, right, and says, you know, John Doe's crime has affected my family in the following way. Da-da, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of where in the penalty phase, you can read statements, you can say some things. I don't want to say throw in the kitchen sink. That's kind of a bad way of saying it, but you know, a lot of things can be said, right, in the penalty phase from the stand with a written either a crib sheet or notes or a statement, okay? But that comes down the road, see, right? Because you can't be having that fantasy of, man, this is what I'm going to say. this is what I'm going to say in the penalty phase, this and that, unless the person's found guilty. Now, person can be found guilty, and there may not be, right? It may not be this penalty phase that you know, Wayne, you're hoping to get your day in court and say all these things, you know? And I'm just pointing out, just whatever, right? So that's why this whole thing has to be played like a round of golf. One shot, right? What's the next shot? You know? Three wood, sand wedge, seven iron. You know, what do we need to get through the next shot, right? And so just getting folks to think out of a factual frame of reference, because this is such a personal thing that had happened to this family, right? And it's such a tall order, you know. But if you can kind of stick to the facts and stick to yes and no questions and stick to, you know, almost being a fact witness, like somebody who saw, I saw that 18-wheeler smash in the back of that other 18-wheeler. Were you there, Mr. Cameron? Yeah. I saw that 18-wheeler smash the back of that Ford Pinto and it blew up. Okay. I'm a fact witness, right? There's no feelings with that. I'm just telling you what I guess the facts as I see them, but mm-hmm. There's not a lot of emotion there except for maybe empathizing for the guy who was in the Pinto. But that's what happened. All right. So trying to get folks to stick on that objective level. So that was a real challenge. Going over the questions, you know, I would try to go over some of the questions and even the person would break down into tears or kind of flip out. And I'm like, hey, when you go and you're sitting in the witness stand, even if it's the DA who's on your side, even that's going to be way more stressful, right? Than me asking you these questions, like I'm right here on this show, Wayne, you know, are you having a letter of intent signing tomorrow? Yes. Do you have contracts set up? You know what I mean? But we could talk, but boy, that's just, so that was a real big challenge with that, was trying to kind of get through the process, right? So.
I can imagine the emotions were real high.
And then, well, I don't want to show up. I don't want to show up. Like, if you don't show up, then the likelihood of A, this person walking, or B, they get a very, very reduced penalty because we're trying to get justice for you. Right? But if you're not going to have skin in the game, mm-hmm. what does that tell a jury? You know? We're trying to get the justice theoretically you deserve, right? Not to sound like a personal injury person, but you know. So you've got to participate in this process as painful as it is. And we all know it's painful. And everybody knows it's painful. The judge knows it's painful. Both lawyers know it's painful. Everybody knows this is a painful process, but man, you know what I mean? You just can't in the ninth inning opt out of this thing. So I was dealing with some of those issues in the front end and finally getting the person to participate. And then there was a lot of trial preparation, and then there was trial preparation again. And then folks took the stand and as it was, the district attorney just says, hey, I don't need anybody to do penalty phase stuff. I think we're good. Wow. So, like I said, like my prophecy was, what? But I want my dang. You're not going to get it. We're done. You know, I wanted to sit there in court with my declaration of independence. And it didn't happen. So, just the way things shook down. So that's why you got to play it one step at a time, you know? And so here, maybe in a week or two, I'll share what the verdict was and some other stuff, but still a little close in here. So, but anyway, so yeah, folks, I mean, that's trial consulting's rough, man. I've testified in a lot of, I'll say my share of proceedings over my career, particularly in the Federal Justice Department. And I would say the vast majority of them, I was on the, you know what I mean? I was on the right side, if you will. I don't want to say that, but you know what I mean? And yeah. I was stressed out, Wayne. I mean, some of these guys, these cross-examining, I mean, stressed out. I was at a trial, Wayne, and I was just talking about what I did, fact, witness, this and that and the other. And then one side was like, well, Mr. Cameron, is this picture from your Facebook? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, what are you talking about? And it was a picture of a prison toilet that I had put on my Facebook like in 2013. I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But a prison toilet would be completely within the scope of my life because I retired from the Federal Bureau of Prisons. I'm sure I had a picture of, had to have had some pictures of some of those prison toilets up there. And at this point, the judge was furious. That, what are you doing? Is your case that bankrupt? You got to bring in a picture of a toilet? You see what I mean? Like, some of these lawyers will stop at nothing, you know?
Well, they're just wanting to rattle you and get you off track. And
I don't know, man. That's why I fade back. Let that say, I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But if it is, hey, I retired from the Bureau of Prisons, man. Did a lot of toilets. I'm kind of a toilet aficionado. So, yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a prison toilet and how it works?
Back in my other life, I did it, was a PI.
Oh, wow. And
I was in law enforcement early on, but
that's right.
Then I was worked for this attorney in Columbus, Ohio. Man, he was a sharp attorney, defense. And I did some work at the Capitol on some things going on, and I did a murder. I was working on a murder case, PI for him. But he said, Wayne, let me tell you something. A good attorney never asks any questions to anyone on the stand that he does not already know the answer to.
That's right.
And that always stuck with me, even in sales. When you're in sales, you don't want to ask questions that you, because you get the wrong answer.
Right.
You want to ask questions that you know the answer you're going to get is going to be positive.
Exactly.
They don't. That's what they go to school for, how to learn to ask questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, once again, you know, being very careful to stipulate that this was a coaching, right? A coaching consulting engagement. This wasn't anything to do with legal matters. You know, you have your own lawyers, you're talking to your lawyers, I'm just helping you practice, you know, right? The material and help you familiarize yourself with the process at hand here, that the attorney doesn't have time to do that. They're worried about let's get in, let's get out. It's okay. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Da, 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 da. I mean, they try to do as much as they can, but I mean, they're busy. They're not going to sit down. Okay. Many of them are too busy. They can't sit down and really hold your hand. And okay, now here's what we're going to do. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe a private attorney would, right? But this wasn't the case on this one, having the state. So, anywho.
They were more the prosecutor, you know.
And so, um, So yeah, man, I've had some similar assignments like that with federal cases, but it's but something like this was a little bit off. I mean, very familiar with it, but it was a little bit different. Just how close and how personal, and how really just, man, just hanging in there with your client as a coach, just riding with your client. You know, if they're in a good space, that's fine. If they're in a bad space, stay with them in that bad space until you can kind of elevate it a little bit by little bit by little bit to get to a better space. So yeah, that's, you know, that's just another interesting thing that, right, another offshoot. So when we have counseling and consulting or coaching and consulting, right? Wayne, I'm sure, I mean, obviously you're coaching, but you're doing business consulting to some of these operators, right? I mean,
I've got a assignment coming up in the next, well, two of them in the next few weeks. I'm going to, they're flying me out of state to consult with some engineers. And then I'm flying to Florida with a guy to coach his people for a week in the field.
Oh, wow. So
that's going to be nice.
Man, talk about that Florida trip. So how many different people, and are they?
Well, he's got several people in his organization. And what's happening is I do coaching with his organization and have for a few years periodically. I do training and personal coaching on a few of them. But his wife has, her cancer is back.
Oh. So
they're in Phoenix getting some really high quality treatment, and she's staying there and he's with her. So he asked me to just be in the field with some of his people, coaching them, seeing that they're on track, and
now
for almost a week.
Okay. Now, these are some of these people that you're going to visit to see if they're on track. Have you worked with any of these people before on a prior?
Yeah, they all know who I am. Okay. They know who I am. Yeah. A training relationship.
Oh, well, that's good. I was just kind of curious. I didn't know if he had so many that you're just training the new ones, right?
No. Actually, I'm not really training any of them. I'm going to be watching and consulting. Yeah. I'll probably throw in a little training, but this is a little different than that. Yeah.
You're observing them and providing.
Yes.
Consulting.
Yes.
Okay. And they all know you from prior time.
Yes.
Hey, and that's a good thing too.
Well, it is, because these are people that I have done when this guy's been gone, or he wants me to come on and do a 1 or 2 hour. Actually, it's pretty narrow focused on some training.
Okay.
And so I've done that several times with his people. And so they all know me. And I'm lucky. I've got a relationship, as they think I'm a good guy. So
of course
they wear well.
So let me ask you, is there any kind of thing? Is it just kind of freestanding hand to hand combat with each person that you observe? Or is there just like, okay, Wayne, when I was here in 2017, I'm just making this up, by the way. So when I was here in 2018, you were doing this, or your sales were this, or whatever. But now it's 2023.
Well, that would come naturally. But what my main focus is I'm going to be with them in the field.
Okay.
As they're doing a presentation. So I'll be riding with them, and I'll be watching them, you know, and I won't be doing any of the presentation. I'll just be observing. When I walk in the door, I used to get people that would go with me, and they'd want to talk. No, you don't ever talk when you're on somebody else's sales presentation. You can't help them no matter how smart you think you are.
Oh, really?
Oh, you cannot. Don't ever say anything. So I had one guy talk all the time. He just wouldn't stop. He'd interrupt me. I just wanted to smack him. So what I did is I said, I'll tell you, and I was going to cook some food. I said, tell you what, let's do. Here's a carrot. Now, what I want you to do, and I'd walk it. Now, Bruce, I want you to take this carrot real gently and just bite it. Just don't bite into it. Just bite on it. Just hold it just like that. Okay, now stay right there, and I'll tell you when to take that out.
Gotcha.
That'd be one way, but I would train you before we go on the show. Now, Bruce, there's a couple things I need you to do, and you're going to have to memorize them. We're going to need to practice this. So are you ready to practice? Okay, I want you to learn, because I want you to say some things. Do you mind? Here's what I want you to say. Now, I want you to repeat after me, because I want to get it just right, because it's real important. But I want you to say hello.
Hello.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. Now, then I want you to learn. This is even better. I want you to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, now those are the only two words I want to hear from you on this show, okay? You see, because let me tell you the reason you learned to do this stuff. I had a lady on a show. She was riding, I was training her. She was riding with me.
Okay.
And we're sitting at the closing table.
Uh-oh. Okay.
This is where I'm looking at your wife, or your spouse, or your partner, and I'm saying, now, Elizabeth, if Bruce was to okay this and you agreed and he was to get you a set of this, I'm sure you'd do your best and follow, you know, and use this method for the rest of your life, wouldn't you? That's a closing question. When you ask your closing question, you shut up. So everything's kind of quiet, just for a second or two. But right in that second or two, this trainee said, excuse me, can you tell me where your bathroom is?
Just ruins it. Yeah.
So you learn things, or they'll come in and they'll say, they'll see a lady that might be a little thick. You know what that term thick is.
I got
and
you.
I've had a lady, now this is all true. Oh, that's nice to meet you, Mary. When are you expecting?
Oh,
no. I'm not.
No, no.
So you learn to, you know, it's just like when I said a good attorney always never ask a question he doesn't know the answer to. So how do you overcome an objection? You cover it before it ever comes up. You overcome it before it ever comes up. So right. You learn to be, and you learn this through failure.
Right. The club. So, you know, wow.
That or you get, you know, there's so many ways, and you can say so much when you're having fun, when you're on a show and you've got a turd. Maybe there's a guy, there's always a guy sometime comes on your show, he might have been drinking, and he's a little bit of a, you know what. And there's things you can say, because everybody else will love it, but it'll put him in his place. You can say, hey, Bruce, I'll tell you what, let's play a game called horsey, okay?
Oh,
I'll be the horse's head and you'll be the, oh, wait a minute, you already are.
Nice.
But it's you have to know how to say this stuff and get away with it too.
Right. Right.
But with a trainee, I was very, very pretty hard on them at that point, because you don't want to nothing, and I won't say anything. When I write on these people's shows in Florida, seriously, if they look at me and say, Wayne, what do you think about that? I'm not gonna do their presentation.
Right. Now, you'll talk to them after the presentation.
After the presentation, we'll cover it. We'll dissect it if it needs dissecting. You don't ever cut them down, because you know what? They're doing the most important thing. They're doing the presentation.
Exactly.
If you can tweak it and help them, but you got to coach them on that. You've got to coach them. Coaches never do this. A good coach, I don't care what you never do this. You know, I would not look at you, Bruce, and say, now, Bruce, you got to stop this. Or you were such a stupid head doing this. Here's how you want to do it. No. You did everything great. You were there. That's 90% of it. It's showing up.
You were there. You were present, attentive.
Zig Ziglar said you could put an order pad on a dog's tail and let him run around town all day. And when he came back, he'd probably have that a signature on that order pad because he saw a lot of people. Very important that they're there.
I've never heard that one from you, brother. That was good.
You just got to see a lot of people.
He'll come back. Hey, that is so inspiring to me because it's just that simple, Wayne. If I just stay in this long enough and see enough people like the dog, I'll get some signatures, right?
That's exactly right. You just got to see the people. I mean, seriously, there was a guy in Alabama, and this was a long time ago, like in the late 70s, early 80s. He was on the front cover of the magazine every month, and he was a black fellow, and nicest, just an unbelievable guy. And he worked at number one every month on the front cover of the magazine. And I got to be friends with him. And one time I said, Joe, I said, man alive, you're just unbelievable. You know, you're smoking them all the time. And he was a little skinny guy. He smoked cool cigarettes.
Yes, sir.
Those things were powerful anyway. And yep. But he said, he brought to a meeting one time, two stacks of orders. One of them was this tall, and one of them was this tall. These were the ones that were approved. And he was number one. These were the ones that were turned down. Bad credit, you know, stuff like that. Now, he was number one with this many. Mm-hmm. But he had this many.
Yeah. Which showed,
I said, how do you do that? How do you become number one all the time? He said, Wayne, it's easy. I just seize the peoples. And I'm serious. That's exactly how he said it. But what a message.
Yeah.
You just got to see the people. I had somebody just yesterday. I asked him about a dealer. I said, how are they doing? Oh, man, they're having a good month. And I'm going to tell you what, that dealer works so hard. Bingo. That's why they're doing so well. It's you work hard.
Right.
There's no secret to whatever you're doing. If it's, I don't care if you're a doctor, an attorney, a ditch digger, a garbage person, a school teacher, what, a salesperson. First of all, mm-hmm. if you're going to be all there. Mm-hmm. Second of all, work hard. Who was it that said, Abe Lincoln, or say, if they're paying you a dollar, mm-hmm. work for that dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
well, I'm fascinated. So I was going to see if I guess you could do it, but you know, if you're there shadowing or whatever, and you're the guy in the background that's hello, goodbye, right?
Yeah, sure.
Is that going to be hard for you? You're going to be biting your knuckles. You're going to be all right.
Even if I see you the next day, I might have scabs from where the blood was running out of my mouth, off my lips from biting my lips. But you have to do that or you're not going to teach them anything.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to teach them.
No, you're right. You're right. And we would do the same thing with counseling trainer. We behind the one-way mirror and you guys just, or the whomever is just lighting them up with not the best things to say, and almost wanted to bang on the glass. Stop. Yeah. But that's amazing. That is interesting, right? Is see the people, and the more you see, the more will sign, and the more they sign, a certain percentage of those will be accepted with their credit or whatever.
There was a guy named Joe Girard, and he wrote a book called Greatest Number One Salesman in America, or Greatest Salesman in the whatever. And then he gave some talks afterwards. He was a car salesman. He would go to the ballpark with stacks of business cards.
Yeah.
And he would just walk around and throw them. You know, just throw them out. You know, and they had, most of them land where nobody ever picked them up, but there was a lot of people picked them up.
Yep.
Just like the drunk that was in the bar. And he'd have a big old shot, and then he'd walk around, and he'd see a lady sitting at the bar, and he'd walk over and kiss her right on the lips. And man, she'd turn around and just slap him. He'd go back, and he'd have another shot of whatever he was drinking. He'd walk over, find another pretty lady, and he'd just turn her around and give her a kiss right on her lips, and she'd smack him. He went over to have another shot of whatever he was drinking, and this guy said, man, he said, what are you doing? He said, man, I bet you get slapped all night. He said, yeah, but I get kissed some too.
Right.
See, he was getting a lot of no's, but he'd get a yes now and then too. Because he kissed a lot of them.
Right.
Now, I mean, that's a kind of a far-fetched deal, but, you know, that's the truth. You have to see, you got to get a lot of no's to get those yeses.
That's right. Now, the other funny version of this one for negative, it's a guy that bangs his head against the wall. And he does it a lot. And the person said, man, why do you do that so much? He goes, well, it feels so good when I stop. Oh, Lord.
But yeah. You know, all those goofy sayings like that, mm-hmm. if you remember them sometimes when they're needed, they bring a smile over your face.
Well, you know,
they make sense.
But like your guy, you know, in the bar, what I mean, right? He saw the people. He got smacked a lot. But if you have one person that, you know, goes along with you, then it's a victory, you know, and it was worth all the no's. And we hear that in sports. Michael Jordan.
I was just gonna say, what about batting averages? You know, the top ball players. What do they bat? 380 or something like that.
That's
that means that 3.8 times,
right?
Out of 10,
right?
They get a bat. The vast majority of times they get struck out or
that's right,
out or ground out or something, but they're out. Only three plus something, a little bit of 3 point something,
38%
successful
batter. Man, that's a
great number one. So, yeah, that's you're so right.
Yeah, man. Let me tell you, especially, and that applies, I think, let's say, I sell a service, but getting out in front of the people in terms of social media, this show, Facebook, Instagram, of course, Apple Podcasts, iHeartMedia, thank you very much, Sam and Ronan, you know, and so all that kind of comes together, right? It all comes to our guests have then promoted the show, prior guests, current, you know, they've promoted on their Instagrams. You know, our guests will mention on their social media, or if they have a backlink to us, we always give a backlink to them. And man, next thing you know, created a presence. So I need to Google Wayne Fritz Concierge Coaches Show and see what all comes up. It's pretty good, man. If you're ever having a bad day, just Google yourself, Wayne. And...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that. I've never done that.
You ought to because, man, anyway, so the shows that I put up when we have guests on Facebook, man, those index real quick, and that's just good for everybody. Anyway, but yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I love your sales training and sales coaching stories because they're still timely, right? Because if you're asking somebody to do something, what you're saying still applies, right? Whether you're 150 years old, 25 years old, we've seen Brennan. We've had Mr. Brennan here on the show. I was talking to him this weekend. And actually, he's 4 or 5 years older than his brother. And anyway, and actually, the kid we've had on the show, he actually has a work ethic that's kind of resembling, well, emerging that way, almost like he's a baby boomer in terms of, I got to get up, I got to hustle, I got to go to meetings, I got to meet people and, you know, get my name out there and build my brand and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, wow, you know. So I love to hear that.
Speaking of brand, I heard the greatest thing about that. You know, there's companies out there now that make a lot of money, but they'll come into your company and help build your brand. Nay, nay. I listened to John Maxwell the other day, and he talked about brand building. And you know who builds your brand?
You do.
That's exactly right. If you work hard and you're doing the right things, you will build your, it'll be you, it'll be your brand, it'll be you.
Yeah.
And that's how you get things done.
Yeah. No, it's, and a lot of, some folks will want to try to truncate that or try to apply some sort of a shortcut and then think of that initial marketing and stuff is building their brand. You know, even on Shark Tank, where they'll say, hey, I did a funding round for this and I got that and I got social media and I got all these pre-orders. Oh, but you don't have any sales, right? Well, no, because I'm in this stage here and we're going to be a multi-million dollar brand. No, you're not. Right. And those sharks, you know, Mark Cuban, Robert Hershovitz, Lori Grenier, Damon John, whoever's on the show that week's like, you don't have any sales. How am I going to invest in you if I don't know if you're, well, we've done proof of concept. You don't have any sales.
That's right.
And then they'll say, and then you can say, my name is Bruce Cameron and I have $2 million in sales. Oh, great. Bruce. What'd you do this last year? I had $500,000. Whoa. Why is this? This should be a better year than last year. Why are you not doing so good this year? Well, I had some supply chain issues out of China and I couldn't get my coaching books or what, you know what I mean? Yeah. Right? I mean, you're 1 foot in the grave with those folks. Anyway,
my mother would say those are the people that talk wonders and poop blunders.
Well, yeah. And you get, you know, it's just, you know, they'll say, hey, I think you maybe have something here, but I think you're too early. Right. Just like you need to establish yourself, your brand, get some sales, get some traction. And let's see, you know, is this even something that's investable right now? Is this a hobby? Do you coach full time, Wayne? Do you have a day job as an optometrist? And just as a side, no, I'm Wayne. This is me. You know what I mean? I'm in this 100%. OK, so at least I know you're invested in your coaching consulting. Yes, sir. OK, so then you get a plus for that. So anyway, it's kind of fun. All right, man. Last thoughts are coming around the corner. 48 minutes. Here we go.
Here we go.
All right.
Man, it's been a day already. This hour is already gone. Wait a minute. I had more to talk about.
Hey, man.
I had more things to say.
Sorry, man. You have to come back
next week. I have more questions to ask you.
You have to come back next week, Wayne. And
I'll tell you what. I'll tune in next week. Hope everybody else does, too.
Bring you on the show. I'll bring you.
There you go.
All right. Well, folks, there's another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show, LA Talk Radio. Come by our social media sites. Instagram, Concierge_coaches. Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show. And also, you can download these videos for free on the LA Talk Radio website at latalkradio.com. You can go to shows, find our show, and then download any and all episodes for free. Also, we can be found on Apple Podcast and iHeartMedia. And several other aggregates that run your favorite podcast. So we're so happy for that. All right. Well, everybody have a blessed week, safe week, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio.
Bye. Thank you.
Here. See you.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.